Curtain Radio.
Well, the Australian government have warned the upcoming shutdown to the nation's 3G network would leave up to, this number is amazing, 740,000 people unable to make emergency calls, 000 calls. Joining me right now is Dr. Dean Economou, is the Curtin University Research Fellow, School of Design and the Built Environment. Thank you for joining us, Dean.
Thank you, Jenny. Pleasure to be here.
This is catching people a little bit off guard, I think.
Well, it's surprising because it's been in the press and people have been informed for over 2 years.
Really? I hadn't read about that earlier.
That's right. So late last year, someone must have done some audits and they found out there were about 740,000 people possibly affected, but it got worse just recently. The spotlight shone on this issue and so I guess people were a bit more thorough and now it's over a million people. And in response, the Communications Minister, Michelle Rowland, has set up a working group to look at what we can do.
Okay, well, the message is out there that people have to start researching, I guess, and that's the important thing to do. Can you explain why we are moving on? Is it just advancement in technology?
Yeah, so mobile phone networks go in generations, and there's a group called GSM, which is, it's French, so the order's wrong, but it's the Global System Mobile. In English, we wouldn't do that, but it was French originally. Yeah. Anyway, that is the system globally. And every 5 to 8 years, technology advances enough that you want to basically refresh how things are done. There's another reason for this. There's two things, actually. One is we have an insatiable demand for data.
True.
Right. To give you an idea, you know, one 4K video that you can now watch on your phone on YouTube is using 25 to 30 megabits a second.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Yes. Now, on 3G, you might be lucky to get 1 megabit a second. So that just doesn't work. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing is there's a thing called spectrum, which is what radio waves work in. And that is a finite resource. There is only so much of that spectrum. And old technology does not make very clever use of that.
Right, I understand.
So basically what you want to do is when you get a better generation of technology, at some point you turn off the old one so you can reuse that spectrum to basically get much higher performance.
Okay.
The other thing that happens is that the companies that make the mobile phone networks, these are the Nokias and the LGs, etc., well, they at some point don't support the equipment anymore. So you're kind of forced to. So the reason that the 3G is turning off is it's really obsolete and it's inefficient.
Is this going to continue? I mean, what we're moving on to, will that become obsolete in 8 years?
Generally what they'll do is they'll keep three generations running at one point. And so when we get to 6G, which is being planned right now.
Of course.
Right, we're just getting 5G rolled out properly, and it has a huge number of advantages. If we have time, I can talk about that.
You know, touch on a couple, will you?
Well, most people think of 5G as much faster, but it's also much slower. So it's trying to basically catch what's called Internet of Things, where you've got millions and millions of tiny little data users. And an example might be a water meter or an electricity meter or something like that.
Okay.
And that all used to work on 2G and then 3G. But the 5G network, in addition to being something like 1,000 times faster than 3G, probably more, is also very good at dealing with many, many small things.
So let me get this right. If you want to know what water usage you're up to, you can check on an app, can you?
Well, certainly the what's not everyone has this, but what's rolling out eventually is that all the electricity meters, water meters, will have telemetry, and that will typically be running on 4G or 5G at some point.
Okay, it's mind-boggling. It really is. I don't know how you keep up with all of this. Okay, so the big concern at the moment is the fact that all these people, a million you've just quoted, may not be able to dial in an emergency.
So what it comes down to is there are virtually no 3G phones left. There are some 3G devices, some of the personal alarms, you know, when someone gets very old and there's a panic button, some of the really old ones rely on 3G, and you basically, if it's only 3G, you have to upgrade it. Mm. Now, the tricky bit was there's a whole bunch of quite old, mainly old, 4G phones, which are 4G, but the emergency number uses 3G.
Okay.
right? And they're the ones that are troublesome, because people might think, oh, I've got a 4G phone, it's fine. But what they don't know is it's a really old one.
How do they know that? How are they going to find that out?
Well, there's a couple of ways.
Okay.
There's a group called the AMTA, which is the Australian Mobile Telecommunications Association, and they have a web page which lists all the brands and models of phones which are probably a problem. The other good way is to call Telstra and to call Optus and to check what's happening. And they know what's happening, and they will be able to identify what's happening with your particular phone and whether you've got a problem. In the case of Telstra, they actually have a number you can text.
Yeah.
So if you text the number 3 to the number 3498 on a Telstra phone, the phone will come back and tell you. There'll be a message that says if you've got a problem. With Optus, you need to call them.
Okay, but they can, if they didn't get that correctly, they can call either Telstra or Optus.
Yeah, call your carrier. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, remember that while there are actually only 3 mobile networks, there's TPG, Vodafone, Telstra and Optus, there's a lot of resellers on top, okay? So let's say you're with Belong Mobile. Well, that's actually a Telstra network, so you kind of need to know that. All right. So first thing, call whoever your provider is and they should know what to do.
Mm.
For that AMTA, they have a website. It's very simple. It's amta.org.au.
What sort of information is there?
They have a complete guide as to why we're moving from 3G to 4G, what the implications might be, what the safety issues are, whether your phone is affected, and what to do about it.
The concern about the 000 call, which is very urgent if you do need that, is there anything else about the phone that you may have that's on that list that possibly needs to be updated that you're going to lose as well?
No, it's quite a specific issue that these phones, which are labelled as 4G, that are very old, actually use 3G to make an emergency call, and it's kind of like a hidden gotcha.
Yeah, but is it going to affect everything? If they kept that phone and 000 was affected, which is a horrible thing to think, but does the phone operate normally?
Oh, the rest of the...
That's what I was wondering.
All the normal numbers will work. It's just that particular emergency number uses quite different and intricate protocols inside the system. And it in the 4G version, I mean, if you want to get into the detail, it actually uses data to make the phone call in the 4G version.
Okay.
And some of those phones don't have the ability to use data for phone calls.
Okay, they really need to know by when.
Okay, so Vodafone and TPG already gone.
Okay.
So if you've got a problem, you know about it by now. Telstra is closing theirs on June 30th, and I think Optus September.
Right.
But they haven't said the date, as far as I know.
Okay, and that's just only going to affect the 000 call?
Only affect the 000 calls for a particular class of 4G phones. I can rattle off some of the common ones.
Yeah.
The other thing that's affected is some FPOS terminals, old FPOS terminals that use 3G. Most of them have been upgraded, but if they're really, really ancient, they may have a problem.
Okay.
And as I said, some of those personal alarm devices, if they're very old, may be relying on the 3G network. So if you've got someone in your family that's got one of those little medallions with a panic or a panic watch or whatever, it's worth checking.
And obviously, to make sure that you've got it right, you should update.
You should. Yeah. The other thing is watches. So Apple Watch 3, 4, 5, Galaxy Watch, some of those have issues as well. Well, in fact, the 3, 4 and 5 Apple Watches can't make the 000 calls. They need the 3G. And some of the early Galaxy Watches are the same.
So they need to really update the item.
The only way to fix it is to get is to buy different products.
So we really have to start thinking about making allowances for upgrading.
Yeah, well, look, the good news is if you're willing to go to Android, you can buy one for $50. That's a very well-reviewed phone.
You're right.
Yeah, so there's a Telstra Vivo or something, and, I looked it up just before this to check, and it's $50, and it's 4.8 stars.
We had a caller through, Barry of Moore River, wanting to know if 5G is operating anywhere in Australia at the moment.
It it's operating in most of Australia.
Oh, okay. It's up and running.
Yes.
So all the new phones at the moment that are being sold?
Virtually all of them now are 5G, 4G, 3G compatible.
If people are finding it difficult to go to websites and to find out this information, if you haven't got a grandchild that's the age of 12 or under to help you, can they go into one of the Telstras or Optus? Or?
Yeah, so also all the stores run by the carriers will have this information. And if you just Google Telstra 3G shutdown or Optus 3G shutdown, there's a wealth of information available. Mm. And that other website, the AMTA website I talked about, they actually list the common devices that are affected.
Okay. It's just for those that really don't know what phone they've got.
Well, there's a million phones affected that we know of, and there are about 35 million phones in Australia. So a lot of people have two, right? Yeah. So it's not many as a percentage, but the problem is a lot of those million phones are in remote places where 000 is really important. If you're in the city and something goes wrong, it's probably not that far to get to a hospital. Mm. But if you're in the middle of nowhere, that's not the same story.
It's very, very true. Okay, yes. So we've got a bit of breathing space with Telstra, end of June. Optus?
September.
September. Oh, that's okay. But let's be complacent about it.
No, and look, it's intriguing that it's got to this point because the carriers have certainly known and been telling people. People have been ignoring it or the messaging hasn't been good. Maybe the government should have had a bit more oversight.
Yeah, a bit of both, to be honest. I had no idea until recently.
Yeah, so I wouldn't like to ascribe blame, but it's a three-sided hat here. You know, government as the regulators, the carriers as the providers and the customers, and somehow we've got a million people who...
So a lot of people that are going to be affected.
Yeah, who didn't get the message one way or the other.
Well, you've done a good job in doing so. Thank you, Dean.
My pleasure.
Much appreciate that. If you've got any more updates, let us know, won't you?
We shall.
Dr. Dean Economou from the Curtin University Research Fellow, School of Design and the Built Environment. What's the built environment?
What we're sitting in, all the it's the buildings and the roads. And
I thought
the
it might be
infrastructure.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you would look at the planning of, or
Well, specifically outside telecommunications. So the reason I know about telco is I used to be a CTO at Telstra. That was a previous career. But in the built environment, what we look at is the interplay of transport and the buildings that you enjoy and making sure that the two work together beautifully.
That's really good.
And in our case, sustainably.
What about driverless vehicles? We're going to see that in transport?
Oh, they're already here.
They are, yeah.
Well, in fact, we brought one in last year, the trackless tram at the City of Stirling, which was my big job.
Oh, was that you?
Well, it was Peter Newman, myself, and Marie Vershua. But that's basically a 30-ton, 30-metre robot that can drive itself. It's it's not autonomous, it's self-guided.
Don't we have one here at Curtin University?
You do, we do. I think it's a Navya or an Easy Mile. And they're little, I would call them a prototype of a driverless vehicle. They're quite primitive. If you want to get the real deal, go off to San Francisco or Phoenix or Austin in the United States. And Google's company Waymo has actually got driverless taxis. And when I say drive, there's no supervisor.
Oh my gosh!
There's no one in the driver's seat except a piece of very clever software.
That is scary.
And you can get a ride. In fact, one of my colleagues did so. And he didn't die.
No, that's good to know. Actually, there was a promo for one of the news stories where one of the journos was testing it out somewhere in Australia. So we should look.
We are certainly trialling them. And in fact, when I was at Telstra, we trialled one, and there's a thing called the Smart Shuttle running around Olympic Park.
How do you give your directions if you're getting into this cab? Do you do the normal thing and ring for it, or you've got an app and it arrives?
For the ones in California, there's an app, and it's just like an Uber, and it comes, stops, and takes you where you're going.
We don't have to verbalise where we want to go. You've actually programmed it.
Those ones you don't, but you could. And in fact, knowing, because it's Google, they'll be very sensitive to people with mobility or communications issues. So there would be an option to talk to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to what?
Talk
the dashboard.
Talk to the app.
Talk to the app. Okay, the app. Yes,
well, people who have sight impairment are usually extremely good at using their cell phones with haptics.
Isn't that great for them?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. How interesting. I've got to come into the future. I'm going back into the past, I think.
Well, there are many more topics we could discuss.
Oh, please do.
Yes.
Please come down and educate us all.
Anytime.
Thank you very much, Dr. Dean.